Now the second half of the interview with Dewey DeWitt and newly elected Sheriff Darrell Crandall Jr.
How large a force do you have, Darrell?
Well, if you include full and part-time, we're right on the cusp of 70, I would say. We've got somewhere around 30 full-time in the jail. We've got about 16 sworn on the law enforcement and transportation side. We have between full and part-time about 8 or 9 communications officers, and then we have a number of reserve deputies, reserve jail guards, corrections officers, reserve transport officers. So, as I said, full and part-time, we're close to 70.
Overcrowding in the jails has become a problem. How are you handling that, Darrell?
When I came here in August of 2013 as Chief Deputy Sheriff, the capacity at our jail was actually 66, according to the state. Tremendous funding issues based upon the state, frankly, sticking their fingers in the county's business and back in 2008 and wrestling part of the control away and then failing to properly fund their portion of it has caused us some real issues. In my opinion, failure of the courts to properly move cases through in a timely fashion has caused some overcrowding issues for us on our pretrial population. But what we did is we worked closely with the Maine Department of Corrections. Shortly after I got here, we convened a meeting with them. They sent a panel of subject matter experts here. They worked with us on our infrastructure, which, as you know, has been updated a few times, but our jail footprint was built in 1889, so we're not operating the most modern facility in the state of Maine. So what we were able to do without brick and mortar, without costing millions of dollars, is through the gracious efforts of the state, through the Maine Department of Corrections, we were able to add 50 beds to the jail, which has allowed us not only to bring 30 to 40 inmates that we had boarded at other facilities around the county back, but we are now in a position to help out some of the other counties that are overcrowded and take some of their inmates as well.
I know it's a problem with the county commission to fund the jailing and so forth, and have you worked with them at all on finding some sort of a new area to work? For instance, Loring Air Force Base is a great facility up there.
Well, as I said, currently we're in much better shape as far as capacity goes, so we are not over capacity, and rarely are we actually at capacity now. So we have some breathing room, so to speak. The county commissioner's hands are actually tied as far as increasing funding. The county portion of our jail budget is capped at its 2008 level, which is somewhere around $2.3 million. It actually cost us close to $4 million a year to run the jail at our current capacity. The remainder of that, by statute, is supposed to be paid for by the state through what they call the Board of Corrections. Unfortunately, the state is not properly funding our actual needs and the actual needs of a number of county jails around the state. We have been lucky enough in previous years to get what they refer to as kicker payments at the end of the year to make us whole for the actual needs of the jails. We are obviously hopeful that that will continue into the future if, in fact, the Board of Corrections and the state's involvement with our county jails continues. Quite frankly, my opinion is that it's time for the county jails to come back to the county where they belong.
Darrell, there must be a problem. You have to submit a budget to the county commission each year, and it must be a problem because you have to replace your vehicles and so forth.
Actually, I have to say that the county commissioners are very good to work with on the budgeting process. It is a very interactive process. It starts at the county administrator level with us submitting our needs and running over those with the county administrator. Then our second phase is to meet with the commission. And again, explain everything that we have in there, what we need, why we need it. We're very conservative across the board, between us and the commission themselves. And then, of course, it goes through the finance committee for the final approval. But I can honestly say that as long as I can justify our actual needs and I'm not doing anything extravagant, I've had no issues with them whatsoever.
Must help a little with the gas prices going down.
It certainly will. I'm hopeful in that particular budget line this year. I had actually requested an increase, which I was granted for 2015. And if the prices stay low, then hopefully there'll be certainly be some surplus there to turn back in.
Darrell, now you're subject to some state funds and federal funds, and that gets very debatable because sometimes you don't know how much you're going to get from the federal or state government.
Well, and that's exactly the situation we're in right now, Dewey. We've got an agreement between the County of Aroostook and the Board of Corrections that what we need is what they've promised us plus around $853,000. Well, it's pretty hard to spend a promise. So we are proceeding on the presumption that there will be a supplemental budget to the Board of Corrections and that we will receive the funding that we need. This is not for increases. This is not for anything new or anything special that we're doing. This is to fund the same level of operation, essentially, that we had in 2008 when the state came in and froze what the county could spend and claimed they were going to pay the difference.
Now, you have how many different types of vehicles do you have to have, Darrell?
Well, we don't have a very varied fleet. We have most of our vehicles that we're ordering now are all-wheel drive. That all-wheel drive has come a really long way, especially with the computer basically controlling when those wheels are going to turn. So that's what we're running is all-wheel drive vehicles right now, as we're purchasing them new. Given where we are and the nature of some of our roads, we are experimenting with a couple of pickup trucks to see if that's going to be something that we like or not. We'll know, obviously, in a short period of time. And then, of course, we have some unmarked sedans for our detectives that, need to be a little bit more discreet about where they are and what they're doing.
Now, do you have a communication center, and how do you communicate?
We do have a communication center here. That center is actually responsible for radio communications, not only with our staff, our law enforcement, transport, and corrections staff, but we also dispatch for 17 other agencies, most of which are fire departments throughout the county, as well as some EMS and local law enforcement agencies.
Now, do you have a state meeting that you get together with other sheriffs?
The Maine Sheriff's Association does meet monthly, and we discuss, as you might imagine, a myriad of issues. Quite prominently lately has been the jail issue and the funding issues that exist in many of the different counties. But we also talk about, as I said, the various divisions within the sheriff's offices, such as, our law enforcement functions and specialties that we may be able to look at for the sheriff's offices in the future. We talk about the sharing of resources between county sheriff's offices. And, we've got an interesting and unique situation this year, Dewey. We've got, out of 16 sheriffs in the state, 8 new sheriffs, not new to law enforcement and not new to sheriff's offices, but 8 newly elected sheriffs. A 50% turnover in 1 year, that's never happened before.
Unfortunately, a couple of them left not because of their own violation.
Here in Aroostook County, everything's been very smooth. So.
Well, we've had a great history of fine sheriffs, Darrell, and I know your dad was well honored. Is he still living?
No, we lost Dad to cancer in 1996, unfortunately. It's interesting. He started as a deputy sheriff in 1946, a constable in the town of Oakfield. And back then, the towns would sort of come forward and tell the sheriff, we'd want this guy to be a deputy sheriff, and they'd swear him in, and they were essentially responsible for that community and what happened there. They didn't really work full-time. They just worked when something needed to be done, and they submitted a bill to the county. And, of course, he did that for years and then was elected sheriff in the mid-60s and retired in 1983, and as I said, I started in 1985. So he was 47 when I was born, so there was too much of an age gap for us to ever work together. So
back in those days, it was always a contest for sheriff, and I know that the guy that contested hardly against your father was a guy named Otis LaBrie, who later became, I guess he beat contested against Jasper Lysette, but Otis then became sheriff down in Penobscot County. You remember Otis?
I do remember Otis. I don't ever remember meeting Jasper, but Otis, of course, was a retired state police detective and sheriff down in Penobscot County for years. So when I would travel around as a youngster to the sheriff's meetings with my father, I met Otis and many of the old-time sheriffs from back in that day. They were a great group of folks. I do remember, though, that back in those days, they all smoked, and the rooms just reeked of smoke, and I had come out of there sneezing. But it was the good memories, really, of those people.
Otis was a great investigator, and certainly he was a graduate of Harvard School when he was in the state police and so forth. And do you have any particular person in your department that is an investigator per se?
We have two detectives that are their full-time function is investigative follow-up. However, as I mentioned earlier, I have sort of directed that our focus be on investigations. Our primary role is to do everything we can to be proactive and deter crime.
Prevention.
To deter crime. When we can't, we are going to doggedly pursue those involved. So basically, all of our deputies that are working in these geographic zones that I talked to you about earlier, they know that in those areas and situations where we haven't been able to deter the crime, investigation is our priority, and that is focused on. There's accountability on that. And so essentially I would say that all of our folks assigned to the law enforcement division are well-trained, and if they need additional training in certain areas, we make sure that they get it. We have a very well-trained staff, a very capable staff, and our clearance rate, which we don't have final numbers for this year, is very high in comparison to the state average.
Darrell, now I know yourself as a good public relations, but do you have a public relations officer?
As chief deputy, I'd handled all of the public relations. I I continue to do that in my role as sheriff, and it's mainly because it's something that not only am I comfortable with, but I feel strongly about it. I feel strongly about the transparency of law enforcement. There are certainly things that you need to worry about the timing of making public, but I do believe it's extremely important for the public to know what they're getting for service, what they are paying for, what we do, how we do it, why we do it, and anything that I can do to sort of keep that line of communication open, I do. We're very active in social media. We do releases regularly to the media on not just arrests and crimes and traffic accidents, but other things that I believe are important for the community to know, and we will continue that.
Now, your force must have to spend some time as far as testifying at criminal trials.
We do. We have a very, very good working relationship with the district attorney's office here. They, of course, prosecute the vast majority of our cases. There are cases from time to time that the attorney general's office will have to prosecute for one reason or another. But we have a good relationship with them. What they need, we make sure they have. If they don't have it initially and they request follow-up, it's done and done quickly. And So, we do have folks tied up with court time from time to time, but that's part of doing business.
Well, all in all, sure, Darrell, I think the sheriff's office has done a great job over the years. I'd like to congratulate you on your becoming the new sheriff. And also, I think basically a lot of us thinking not of solving crimes, but preventing crimes.
It's the key. It really is. And that's something that I've spent a lot of time with our folks on since I got here a year and a half ago. And that is that you are part of your community. Become part of your community. Communicate with your neighbors. Do what you can to help them. Let's solve some of these problems before they become crises. And they're very good at it. And I believe that that's something that you only can see the results of in the long term. And I'm quite pleased.
Well, thank you very much, new Sheriff Darrell Crandall, Jr., I must say, because your dad was so well-known throughout the state and the great work he did, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Dewey.
At the Holton Water Company, we work around the clock to bring you reliable, cost-effective electric, water, and wastewater service. We've been very fortunate this past year as we've experienced no major disruptions in service. But no matter how hard we try, life happens, such as high wind, ice, and rainstorms, falling trees, vehicle accidents, and equipment failure. If an issue does occur, know that our crews are on the job restoring your service as soon as possible.